This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Thursday. So buckle up. BK is going to join us the half hour from now. Talk a little bit about mining the Strait of Hormuz. Why can't these super ninja types just go dive bomb in there and remove all the nuclear material? You know, BK is always wonderful, so we'll have a good time with him. We'll get to a couple immigration things, some other stuff. In fact, I'm going to get to that immigration stuff here in just a second. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And again, to remind you that you need to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now. They're piling up fast now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll have a good time tomorrow. Questions like this one off what we just talked about. Oracle, I was pondering, did Trump figure the economy might not improve enough before the midterms, so you might as well deal with Iran now? Thinking if Republicans lose the midterms, he'll be impeached anyway. Says I can say his name. His name is Randall. Look, I don't want to put myself inside Donald Trump's head. I don't know him. We're not friends. I can go off his public statements, but so can you. I don't have some unique insight that you don't have. But if I had to guess, I would guess this. For whatever reason, he kicked it off and made this choice. Donald Trump thinks and thought that he would be able to wrap this up and get back home in time to get prices and everything as right as he possibly can before the midterms. And I need to stress, if you're panicking right now about prices or panicking about the midterms, and I played the poll numbers and stuff like that, I'm not going to tell you not to panic. Prices matter. That's your standard of living. And the midterms matter. That's a really big deal. I'm not telling you not to panic. However, we still have time if we wrap it up, come home, and energy prices stabilize. We still have time to get things right. There is a good and a bad to the kind of society we have now. A lot of it is because we are so connected on smartphones all day long. Just let's rewind. Rewind back to 1980. How did you get the news, the stories of the day? You got the newspaper every morning. Or you sat down and you watched ABC, NBC, or CBS at night, 15 minutes, half hour, giving you the headlines of the day. So that's once or twice a day maximum that the normal human being would get any news about what was going on in the world. After that, other than that, you're busy with life, work, food, play, whatever you're doing. Today, it's different because all the news of the day is on your phone. You might be listening to my voice right now on your phone. Get this. The show is nationally syndicated, New York to Hawaii and everywhere in between. And more than half of the listeners listen in podcast form of the show. When Jewish producer Chris finally gets around to uploading the podcast. What, Chris? Just say, anyway. We are on our phones now. We are connected at all times. You can argue till you're blue in the face, that's bad, that's fine. But that is the world in which we live. That means we're hyper aware of what's going on at all times. It also means no matter how big the controversy is, no matter how bad the scandal, no matter how bad the political this or the political that, we will forget and we will move on in an instant. In an instant. So we have to learn to calm ourselves when we, and this applies when we're really happy and excited about something. Look at this big win. Look how great this is. And in that moment, your mind says to yourself, we're never going to lose another race in this country. The communists are completely defeated. We have power forever. Everything is good. Now I can go home and sit down and put my feet up and turn the game on. But that's not true. People will forget. People will forget. How quickly do people forget? I'll play it again. I know it's an ugly pull that we don't love to hear, but don't just listen to the current numbers. Listen to what they were.
Yeah, what about independence? You think this 41 points below water is bad? Take a look at independence. It's even worse. I mean, 60 points underwater when it comes to Trump and the cost of living among independents. Again, a record low. You go back to October of 2024. He was winning on this issue over Kamala Harris by 11 points. Look at that switcheroo. That is a 71-point switcheroo.
The public changed its opinion by 71 points in a little bit more than a year. We come and we go. And the same thing applies when we're down. Okay, right now, that was hard to hear. Oh my gosh, independents hate us right now. We're going to get killed in the midterms. Well, yeah. It's, what is the date? March 19th. If the election were held March 20th, yeah, it would be a massacre beyond belief. But the election is not March 20th. The election is in November. There is time to wrap it up and come home. There is time. Don't ever get too high. Don't ever get too low. And that's hard to do in a society where you're connected to the latest news and scandals every single day. Try to stay as even as you possibly can. All right? Now, on the negative side, we're moving off of this. On the negative side, as I have mentioned before, In all cases, at every point in history, starting a war is easier than stopping it. That's always been the case because once you start it, now there are parts of it that are outside of your control, outside of your hands. We talked about it at the end of last hour that Trump decided to kick this whole thing off. And last night, Israel bombs a friggin' LNG place, and Trump didn't want him to, and he's yelling at him about it, and I didn't authorize it. But once you get things rolling, now they're rolling, it's hard to get things to stop rolling. The Strait of Hormuz, the Iranians have mined it. They have mined it. They're not going to unmine it. they're not gonna unmine it, and we kind of need it unmined because we got to have oil flow. You see, but we have time. Don't panic. Don't panic. And remember what the Japanese PM
said.
Powerful stuff. You know what makes me feel great? You want to feel great about something? I hate Gavin Newsom. I mean, I think that's pretty universal. You probably don't think very highly of him, but that slimy snake has worked very hard to wreck our biggest, most prosperous state. And he's done a very good job of it. The taxes, the fees, the crime, the filth, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. Well, he's going to try very hard to become president of the United States. And because he's a clever duck, he's been working very hard to talk to right-wingers. I want to sit down and just chat with you. You know, I'm going to chat with Charlie Kirk, which he did before Charlie was killed. I'm going to chat with Sean Ryan and chat with all these guys. Trying to make himself, I'm reasonable. Gavin Newsom is working very, very hard to make himself look reasonable to Normie Norm. He doesn't want to look like a California left-wing kook. He's working hard to make himself, I'm a Democrat, but I'm a guy, I'm a nice guy, I'm one of you, I'll talk to anybody, man, I love guns. He's doing that thing. But here's the thing about getting married. When you get married, you become one, right? And when you become one, you ride the highs with them, and you take the lows with them, you know, for better or worse, as you say in your wedding vows. When your husband gets promoted, you get to go to Barbados with him. When he gets cancer, you got to sit by his side in the hospital as he goes through chemo. That's life. Ups and downs. That's the way it goes. Gavin Newsom is working his tail off to try to tell Normie Norm he's not a weirdo commie kook. But Gavin Newsom is married. his wife has decided to get out there in the spotlight. As Gavin's trying to appeal to Normie Norm, this is what his wife's saying.
There's so much to learn from same-sex couples who have learned to communicate and who also are like, well, look, you know, someone's got to do the care work in a same-sex male couple. Someone's got to do that, so I'm just going to do it. And this is like, and not be afraid or ashamed because it's part of being human. We're all on a spectrum, right? It's just how society kind of pushes us and pressures us into these limiting gender roles. But again, the folks on the far right, they're missing is just this, they're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately it's just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be, and we're not going to be, because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now and they're woke and they're not going to let us go back. And so I have so much hope because of that. And obviously, California has a huge responsibility to lead.
Just totally ruining Gavin Newsom's image. It's fantastic. Almost as fantastic as Relief Factor. Almost as fantastic as being in pain and then getting relief. What if that pain could get lifted off of you so you don't ever have to live with it again? I don't mean for a couple hours so you can go play golf. I mean the pain that you suffer from every day. Maybe it's just an ache and pain. Maybe it's some chronic pain. Ah, my knee again. What if I could just grab it and take it out of you right now? Relief Factor can. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a miraculous supplement that you take every day. It builds up in your system, and the longer you take it, your pain gets turned down and down and down, and you wake up one day, and it'll almost be like a miracle. It's gone. Call 1-800, the number 4, Relief, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, reminding you you need to email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before I get to some emails and some other things, immigration and whatnot, remember we got BK coming up in 10 minutes. When you get married, inevitably, based on your strengths and things like that, some duties are going to fall to one person and other duties are going to fall to other people. You know, in my house, the trash is my business. I care about the trash. I have a trash obsession like my father did before me. I'm going to take the garbage out. That's going to be my thing. Ob's going to do the cooking and cleaning unless it involves meat on the grill or something like that. That's her thing. She handles the books, the finances. My job to earn it. She's got to figure out the taxes. And again, basic stuff. Everybody has their own thing. But I feel like something has been thrust upon me that is not, and I hate to use this term because it's such a lame term, fair. The NCAA basketball tournament, the college basketball tournament, March Madness, it started today. Ob loves to fill out brackets for the NC for March Madness. I don't watch college basketball anymore. I admit it. So I don't care about brackets. And I'm not judging you if you do. The March Madness, I had great times watching it when I was a kid. There's nothing against March Madness, but I'm not into it. So I get a text during the break. This is just a couple minutes ago. I get a text during the break. Hey, did you get us both signed up for a March Madness bracket? To which I said, exactly what I just told you. No, I'm not even into March Madness. And she texts me back. I'm not kidding. I'm reading it right now. Then you failed me. How is this my responsibility? What, Chris? What? Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Jewish producer Chris just said, did she bother filling out a crappiest countries in the world ballot? Did she even vote one time in that critically important tournament we did right here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show? No, she didn't. How am I automatically the March Madness bracket guy when I don't give a crap about March Madness. You can't just sign me up as for a thing when I'm not into the thing. If you're into the thing, then you need to be into the thing. That's all I had to say. I just had to get that off my chest. Let's focus on the positive, like this. Amen. Speaking of March Madness, I got an email. I don't even know what to say. It's definitely a unique radio audience certainly for conservative talk radio. This is the email I got. I'll just read it to you. Jesse, I'm off the weed, and the main side effect is that comes with very vivid and random dreams. I had a dream last night that you were in Chicago for a speaking event, and I walked into a bar that you were at. It was an Ohio State bar during March Madness. You were solo. No one recognized you except me. But you had a cowboy hat on and were sitting at the bar slamming Tall Boy Blue Moons and randomly starting chants of Ohio State basketball players from the mid-2000s. Every time you finished one, you would turn the glass upside down and just point to the bartender that you were ready for another. I am a pointer, Chris. Chris, I am. Everybody know I'm a. When I see someone I know, I'm that guy. I point to them. Anyway, the guy goes on and he says, by the end of the night, everyone was looking at you as the hype leader and OSU won the game. I went up and said hello and I was a fan, and your response was, thanks, I know. I hope this is how we meet one day. Keep up the good work. No one in the game better. I do that. A couple things are deadly accurate. I'm not drinking at the bar, pounding beers by myself anymore, but a couple things are unbelievably accurate. I point, and I'm not totally sure why I do that. It's totally human nature, and now my sons do it. I'll see one of the boys in the house or something like that. Say, hey, buddy. And he just look and he'll just point at me. One day I was picking up Luke from school and he's walking with his friends and I make eye contact with him. He's walking towards the car and he looks up at me and he just points to me. And I'm like, this kid, I'm telling you, I'm just strangling him right now. So I'm a pointer and now my kids are pointers. That's one. Two, I I'm a huge fan and I respond with the I know thing. And I don't know why I do that. I need to stop doing that. Ob says it's cocky and I need to stop doing that. And I'm going to stop doing it starting now. I am, Chris. I'm going to clean it up. But we have to talk to BK, so cleaning it up may have to wait. BK is going to talk to us about mining the Strait of Hormuz next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Turn it off, Chris. Gosh, it's so bad. Why does he do this to us every single time? Joining me now, my friend, host of the World News with BK podcast, former Air Force PJ. BK, that might have been your worst song choice yet, but we don't have time to get into your musical choices right now. There are too many things going on the globe, and I have to ask you about them. First and foremost, we got an email from a listener yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of people had this question. Why can't we just send you BK types into Iran and parachute in there and get rid of all the nuclear stuff? Why can't you go do that, BK?
Oh, man, you know, I would, Jesse, but I'm kind of being an old retired guy now, a former action guy, if you will. I'm a little disinclined to accept one-way missions, if you know what I mean. Like, I think people watch way too many movies. Like, what are you going to, parachute a bunch of guys in and then what? You know, like, it would require a massive presence, as I'm sure you already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much verbatim what I said last night. Look, the movies are really cool and it makes it look cool and the things you guys do are cool, but you are actually not superhuman where you can teleport in and out of nuclear bunkers and in and out of countries. It doesn't work that way. So if I can't send an army of BKs over there to get rid of whatever nuclear stockpiles they say are there, How do we get rid of them and come home before we get massacred at the midterms?
Yeah, Jesse, it's a great question. You know, like you, I'm sure I've been keeping an eye on this closely. I shed no tears, of course, for the entire leadership of Iran getting schwacked in the first couple of days. You know, mm-hmm. as you know, they were responsible for many, many, many deaths of Americans, yep. not just Americans, Jesse. I'm talking tens of thousands of people in Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the Middle East. So I'm not shedding a tear over any of that. But, you know, the facts are, Jesse, the longer this goes on, it's going to hurt his base. Trump many, many times on record very loudly proclaimed, you know, I'm the anti-war candidate. Vote for Kamala if you want your sons and daughters to go to war in Iran. I mean, he said all these things, right? And his MAGA base is pretty unhappy. I know the true believers are sticking with it. I will say, Jesse, you know, I read a lot of the people on social media, as do you. There is a plan that's happening and being executed. I mean, it's foolish. These foolish people, these propagandists saying, oh, the USA is losing badly. I mean, it's complete, yeah. total propaganda. Their top leadership is gone. Their Air Force is non-existent. Their Navy is non-existent. So these are very smart men, these people at the Pentagon who've spent years dedicating their lives to this. And for anybody to say that they're not, they don't know what they're doing or they're not executing a plan, they're just showing, Jesse, how ignorant and foolish they are. And they're not to be taken seriously. Now, every possible outcome of this has been studied. So whether you agree with the movement or not, or the entire premise, this war, this attack, whatever you want to call it in Iran, there is no doubt that a plan is being executed. And no, it's not as just simple as carpet bombing everything. Like, we're trying to do this in the most surgical way possible, like especially in the Strait of Hormuz, right? What good is opening the Strait of Hormuz if you've littered it with decaying, opened, sunk oil tankers with oil all over the place? Now you have this huge natural disaster on top of everything else. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just as simple as like, well, let's just bomb everything and move ships through the strait. But there is a plan. It is being executed. Not sure I agree with the whole thing to begin with, but there is a plan. Trust me.
Okay. Let's go to the Strait of Hormuz, because, again, this is something that you would know and I would not and most normal people would not. It's the Strait. We got it. We understand how important it is. We talk about it all the time on the show. 20% of the world's oil moves through it. We got all that. If we have air superiority, we obviously do, to put it mildly. If we have naval superiority, we obviously do, to put it mildly. Why is the Strait closed?
It's a valid question. There are certain things that I didn't know that I've learned from some of my sources. One of the big concerns, Jesse, are mines. Now, we think of the mines, right? We think of the World War II thing floating, right? It floats up to the ship and it hits the hull, it explodes, right? Mm-hmm. Those are what we kind of think of. That's what I thought of, right, as a mine. But we have they have mines now that are like on the seabed. These mines don't ever directly contact the ship. Instead, they explode underwater and they create this like vacuum bubble that goes up with such force it's able to crack the hull of the ship from underneath. The mine itself never comes into contact with a ship. So stuff like that you do have to remove. It's not clear how many mines like that they have, these bottom facing mines or anchored mines or anything like that, but it is a slow process. I'm sure eventually they're going to come to some kind of agreement. I mean, Iran wants to sell oil just as much as everybody wants to buy the oil. So we'll keep an eye on that one. And as far as oil prices, boy, that's all over the map. I mean, it was like $120. The futures contract was like $120 for a barrel of oil like 6 hours ago. I just checked it. Now it's at like $94. So it's wildly fluctuating. And we'll just have to keep an eye on it. But that strait is of critical importance. And there's no doubt in my mind, yes, they have war games that out also.
Speaking with our friend BK, host of the World News with BK podcast, and just to piggyback on what he just said, remember, any explosion underwater of any kind, depth charges, anything like that, the force always goes up because that's the path of least resistance. The force never goes down. If you're in a submarine and a depth charge explodes above you, it's actually not that big of a deal. If it explodes below you, your family's going to get a letter in the mail. That's the way that kind
right.
of thing works.
And torpedoes, Jesse, work much the same way. And that mm-hmm. torpedo they fired that sank that boat kind of works the exact same way.
So, BK, boots on the ground. Trump has expressed today that he doesn't want that. Obviously, he doesn't want that for a variety of reasons, the loss of life, the loss of political capital, a variety of reasons he doesn't want that. But as I expressed a half hour ago, the situation we're in is similar to many other situations with allies. What our purpose is not necessarily what Israel's purpose is. We are aligned, but they want a complete wipeout of their number one geopolitical enemy. We want to bomb out the nuclear facilities and come home. So how do we resolve that?
That's the question. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot, Jesse, as have you, the last couple of days about our friend Joe Kent resigning, and a lot of it had to do, in his own words, with how our ally, Israel, is kind of been conducting war themselves. And you're right. They want a full wipeout where we're trying to take a more pragmatic approach. The boots on the ground thing is an absolute loser for Trump. I mean, that would be, first of all, that's the only way to really like take over a country in any way. You can't just defeat a country by air and artillery alone. So that would be such a switch from what Trump has been saying forever. The American people, Jesse, have zero appetite for another boots on ground Middle East excursion. Now, you and I both know that there's always been some boots on ground all over the place, over the place. But we're talking like if you want to send like the Marines in to storm the beach, that's just going to be a complete no-go. So I don't know what Israel's end game is here. If they just want to colonize Iran, or what do they want to install a puppet government? Like, they really have been kind of mum about that. So the fact is that maybe our particular goals in this particular region aren't always aligned, and they're going to have to figure that out.
Again, we're speaking with BK. BK, I should have asked you beforehand, but you know I'm stupid and I never remember. Could you maybe stay on and answer a couple other questions? Because actually, there are other things going on in the globe, and I want your perspective on those things. You got another 5 minutes or so? Okay, cool. All right, so we are going to take a quick break here. We're going to break a little bit early and come back because I have some more questions. Believe it or not, there are other things happening in America and around the globe that are not in the Strait of Hormuz. Before we get to that, remember, the term is fat-bodied, not obese. Also, remember, you have to take ownership of your own personal protection. We live in an era where we have violent people all around us. That's the world Democrats have given to us. Fine, we can try to change it. Until then, what are you going to do to stop that very violent man from hurting you when he's waiting for you at your car tonight, when he's waiting in your driveway, when he kicks in your front door? What is the plan? If the plan is to pick up your phone and call the cops, you're going to die. What are you going to do? What is your daughter going to do? Is she off to college right now? Your son? What's her plan? Byrna is here to give you a plan. They're going to give you a compact launcher, a Byrna launcher. But it's non-lethal. Security companies carry this. SWAT teams carry this. Shoots these pepper balls, tear gas balls. Because it's non-lethal, it's legal in all 50 states. No background check needed. They'll mail it to your front door. A plan is Byrna. Have a plan. BYRNA, Byrna.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Back with our friend BK, host of the World News with BK podcast, former Air Force PJ. Speaking of the Air Force PJ stuff, it is widely known in military circles to be one of, if not the most brutal of the selection processes there is. I think you told me it's like 2 freaking years. You people are psychos. So tell me about this David Goggins guy. What's he doing? What?
Yeah, Jesse. So this is crazy. Of course, I was the first one to break this, and I actually held on to it for a bit. But David Goggins, everybody's favorite, influencer, has decided to re-enlist, and he has joined the military. He has joined the Air Force specifically. He is going through Air Force Special Warfare Training. And to be specific on that, this would be pararescue training. Now, maybe a lot of people don't know this, but for background, David Goggins first went in the military. He went into the Air Force. He went to go become a PJ. He withdrew for medical reasons, huge air quotes here. A lot of people that I know said he quit outright, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there. He went on then to join the TACPs, the Tactical Air Control Party. Those are like the JTACs, the call-in bomb strikes, right? Then he got out of the Air Force, and then he joined the Navy SEALs. So that's kind of the background. So now I guess he's decided to come full circle, re-enlist, go back to his original failure or something, and do it all over again. Now, the selection, Jesse, has been changed several times. It's not even what it was when I went through. It's completely different. It adjusts with the times. It's not always different. So what David Goggins is going to go through is wildly different than what he flunked out years and years ago. Now, I need to put this out there. Every single pararescueman, every senior enlisted, every chief were wildly against this. Nobody seems to know where it came from. It was approved at the very highest level of the Air Force because he's 51 years old. He's my age. I'm 51. And he got some kind of age waiver, and now he's going through, and he's not going to have to. I've already gotten word there's a special like pre-selection for 2 weeks where you kind of do PT and you learn how to, you know, to, you know, go into the room, go out of the room, do your ins and outs, stuff like that. He's skipping that. He got to skip that. And he is also not going to have to go to dive school. He's not going to have to go to HALO school. I mean, he hasn't done either one of those things in decades. So I guess he's just supposed to show up at Kirtland, presuming he's going to pass. And he'll get to all of a sudden do mass night exits with equipment and night vision goggles from the C-130s doing a HALO jump. I don't even know how that's going to work. I presume he's going to get special treatment and he'll get spun up for that as well. It's super stupid. He's taking somebody's slot. He's never going to be an operational PJ attached to a squadron on a team doing the job. They're going to shuttle him like right into training or something. And a lot of people are pissed off, including myself. We think it makes a mockery. There's young guys, Jesse, who dedicated their lives, who dedicated 5 years of their life training up just to go get a chance to try out. And in swoops, David Goggins, washed up David Goggins, to take their spot. So yeah, I'm a little hot about it. And I think, and I 100% believe this is for him to write another book. He's going to write another book after this is all over saying, you know, Circling Back by David Goggins or something stupid like that. Mark it down now, Jesse. It's happening. Yeah. And I'm really pissed off about it.
BK, I don't think I've ever heard you this upset about anything, man, alive.
I was fired up, brother.
All right. I had to let you bare your soul on that. Yeah, now, bare your soul thank for you. Me, as you often do on Africa. Mm. We forget about it because anytime it's in the news, there's a famine, there's a civil war, there's a genocide. It's just always sad. You never look at an African headline and think, wow, that's really wonderful. Is there anything wonderful happening?
No, there's not at all. You know, we're still in the civil. We have a civil war in South Sudan. We've got the massive genocide going on in that war. There's no end in sight to all that. Oh, and by the way, we've also had our first drone strike in the civil war not exactly a civil war, but in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Rwandan-backed militia, M23, has been fighting the Congolese military for some years now, and we thought that was kind of like peace treaty, and now all of a sudden, they're starting to use drones in Africa, which, by the way, that drone strike killed a United Nations worker and two others. So, Jesse, hold on to your hats, because now that we have some drones coming into all these wars in Africa, it's going to get really spicy over there.
That's wild, because things have always been so peaceful in Rwanda.
Peaceful place, yes.
Yeah, they've always gotten along pretty well. BK, domestically, what do we need to be worried about?
What do we need to be worried about? Well, I think a lot of people are getting a little paranoid, Jesse. Like, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people keep messaging me, like, what about the sleeper cells? That's what's occupying everybody's mind, the sleeper cells. Uh-huh. I mean, frankly, me personally, I don't think they exist. I know that puts me in a tiny minority of people. I don't think there's like a basement full of 10 guys from Iran waiting to go, just waiting for the bat signal to go up to start like attacking. I mean, what are they waiting for, right? I mean, like we've already taken out their supreme leader. So if it was going to happen, I'd say it's going to happen. I do think, though, there's going to be some of these random nuts like that guy in, was it Austin, Texas, the shooter who just went crazy. And I think there will be the same old story. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are self-radicalized, and this Iran conflict has only self-radicalized them more. So like we always say, you know, go out at night, have a plan, keep your head on a swivel. I mean, that's really all you can do. But, you know, live your life. Like, if people need to be stopped being paranoid a little bit, I think.
He is BK. World News with BK is the podcast. It is outstanding. Thank you, my brother, as always. All right. I have to say it. BK said it, so I'm going to say it. Sleeper cell sounds really cool. Even though sleeper cell is usually in reference to some dirtball terrorist, right? But still, the sleeper cell. And when you picture sleeper cell, you think, you know, they've got a safe house. Clearly, it's a bunch of dudes. They're at a safe house, and they have a weapons locker and stuff like that. And they've got some tortillas and what, Chris? And some medical supplies and stuff. There's a sleeper cell out there. But that probably doesn't exist. What BK said is probably right. Sleeper cell is usually just code for some angry young Muslim male who spends too much time on the internet, who got himself wrapped up in radicalization somehow, some way, got his hands on a weapon or a bomb. Now he's going to go out to kill as many people as he can. Usually he'll fail horrendously. He'll maybe get one or two people before getting shot or beaten to death, and then he'll burn in hell for all of eternity. That's normally how these things work. As BK mentioned, sleeper cell, where are they? I was assuming by now they're taking over shopping malls, you know, 15 of them. It just doesn't, the enemy's never as smart and organized as you think. All right, we still have a whole other hour. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.